Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about six universes and a world. This is one of the embarrassing times where I say, I can remember starting off saying, look, there's definitely three universes and I'll name these and then go to four and then I decide, oh, well, could we have to do atoms? You know, if we've taught people about universes and the idea that a universe is a scale play scenario that people using, leveraging play. We'll get onto it more. And then, fundamentally, from this universe, there's this, sort of, again, in bionics, say for instance, bionicles is a plastic universe of a certain scale, and there's bionicles of a certain era, and then there's the new generation bionicles, which are, they're over aggressive and flimsy, not as good as the good old Vicar and the old, and the Raki and the, that type of stuff, the old bionicles. But, there is a bit of a story to it. So, they go off, you know how I said bionicles? So this is namely these scale systems with a tag word that the person can be secure at, and then the scale and implications can be associated with the tag. So there's not, you give them a few more varieties of natural learning to come in. So now I've introduced another scale. I'm not so enamored with it because there's not much I can do with it. Oh, I suppose there's something you can do with it, but it just fits in with the variety of scales. Now, bear in mind, a series of different scenarios with different names is just basically like Thomas the Tank. You've got Gordon the main engine and Toby the little tram engine, and they all have different things to go. So it really goes in for the naming of something that's really good, more characters there. So once you collect one or two characters, you've got the, I suppose, the scaffold, and the joy of just fitting in different aspects to the scaffold there. So the overall scaffold is of a universe is just basically a scale system, and then once you've got the universe, certain things appear. So I've had five, I'm not going to confuse you by saying five, and then what the sixth one is, because this one's a bit out of order. So we'll start with the smaller verse. This is where things are a billion times bigger than they should be. A billion is 1,000,000,000 times bigger. And so an oxygen atom is the size, well, you'd say, of a cat. It's 30 centimeters across. So an oxygen molecule, 30 centimeters from side to side. And I'll come back to more about what it's like and what sort of world there is. So in the our world, it's hard and got bits and pieces to it. And sort of the vintage one is, got little nuclei and little electrons whizzing around. That's a vintage world. We'll get back to the world aspect. And so that's blown up times a billion, and your atoms are now as big as watermelons. Not watermelons, rock melons. I don't know what you call in the US cantaloupe. I really don't know. All this naming stuff is crazy. I think banana is universal, but almost everything else is slightly different. I've come to the number of things that we've rocked up and been bitterly disappointed, or saying, one of the things that's digression is pumpkin cake. Yeah, pumpkin cake. Oh, well, then on the other side, Australians eat beetroot, which is basically fodder. You know, it's considered fodder in other countries. And these are different things. So this is, sorry, getting back to the smaller verse. Then you get to our dimension, one-to-one, the universe. So what would be an example of a model person in the universe would be a one-to-one scale store mannequin, or a one-to-one scale mock-up. But the universe, besides having the mock-ups, have the actual people in it. It's the universe that you inhabit, you grow up in that universe. Now the next one is a new one, which I thought, I put it in and I've only got two names and it's all out of order. So this is not perfect, and bear in mind that no one really knows about it, no one really cares. They will care when it's all put together. I call it the Grapeyverse. Not Gropeyverse, no, Grapeyverse. That's because the Earth, in this scale of universe, so we shrink everything by a factor of a billion. So expand by a billion, do nothing to it, contract everything by a billion. When you contract the Earth by a scale of a billion, so that's 1,000 million, it's 12.3 millimeters across, the size of a little grape. That's why we call it Grapeyverse. Now, is the math too hard for you? Well, I don't know. It's because people trust their mobile phones. What they can do is they can type in diameter of Earth divided by billion in millimeter. And it'll come out. Little Google will say, look, gee, I'm smart. And tell you 12.7 centimeters. So, 12.4 millimeters, or half an inch, and you, US people, I believe anyone listening to me could probably handle millimeters. I don't know. The US, you'd have to be able to handle that type of stuff. England, shame on you if you don't know that by now. And, yeah, metrics is an interesting thing anyway. So in the Grapeyverse, the Earth is a grape size, and the moon orbits 40 centimeters from us, and I don't know how much the sun was. I don't know whether the sun be a meter and a bit across, so the standard basketball type of stuff. Now the problem is that you don't hang around in any of these universes too long. It's not much. Grapeyverse is sort of like the real afterthought universe. Probably will be the best seller, the Grapeyverse, because you can actually buy little Earth, grape size, billion to one scale Earth. Brilliant idea. And then the next one is the Petaverse, which is a trillion to one. So it's 1,000 times, shrunk down 1,000 times. And so your beach ball, 1/1000th of a meter is now a millimeter and a bit, 1.3 millimeters, something like that, across, and that's the sun. The sun's that much, and, but, the nearest planet is 46 kilometers away, and the, at that scale, that's to give you an idea, and also that, light at this scale, so at the Grapeyverse, light travels. I hate this. You sort of really get used to this when you're dealing with optical fibers, in terms of you hooked something up and trying to get the timing right for your lasers and all that sort of stuff, and you just know that light travels at a foot a nanosecond, which is about 300 millimeters per second, because it goes 300 million meters per second, 300,000 kilometers. You know, it takes one and a quarter seconds to get up to the moon. Yeah, and you're really aware of that when you were up on the moon speaking with Tricky Dicky, if you're back then. But, you know, you've got more on your mind out there. But, so you're around the lab, you know. That's sort of like the most standard sad thing in terms of you look at an optic fiber and you say, oh, well, that's going to be 4 nanoseconds, that's going to be 6, yeah, she'll do, that type of stuff. So now in your billion universe, light actually does travel, takes a second to travel a foot, yeah, that type of stuff. Okay, now we're on to the petaverse, which is where the word trillion might get people up. The petaverse is this little cashew thing, and I don't know what the size of the solar system is, the orbit of Jupiter is. I have to think about it. It's not big, and it takes, I don't know how far it takes to travel a day, 24 meters a day, something like that. What is it? How much would 3,600 times a third? So that's sort of, yeah, it's a bit over a meter a second. Is that right? Meter an hour. Sorry, meter. It takes an hour to travel a meter in the petaverse, roughly speaking. But you can see where it's going, and then we won't stay too much on the petaverse. So it gives you a general idea about just how, I'm not going to use any explicit, but how empty space is, and how at a certain amount of time when you say, we're doing all this effort to get to Mars now, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do after Mars? It's all well doing, but it's an awful long way to the next planet. It's an awful lot of radiation, an awful long time of being just cooked alive. I mean, the galaxy is not a pleasant place to be, and there's a hell of a lot of cosmic rays coming around there. If you just want to basically fry a chicken, you can just chuck it up there for a while. Be nice and radiation heated. I can't see. Well, I'm sure the human ingenuity and the grand wire stuff and the Star Wars franchise will keep on going. I think in generations to come, while we're still down here sort of sweating it out, we're going, what were they thinking of? They burnt all that coal, they made these ridiculous bloody movies. Okay, so that's the Petaverse. The next one is the Hilliverse, which is 1,000 light years to a millimeter. Why that? Because a millimeter is something that people know, and your pancake is 100 millimeters across. That's not the big American pancake, that's just a normal sized pancake. It's not a pancake you'd serve out at school. You don't want to, you know, them all falling asleep because they're eating all that much. And then that gives you the scale of the actual local cluster, because then at that scale, Andromeda, 2 million light years away, is 2,000 millimeters, 2,000, it's just 2 meters away. That's enough to, you know, for the next person opposite to be slightly outside your personal space. Outside my bubble. Don't get out of it. And that's Andromeda. And, Magellanic clouds are within arm reach of you. And the other sides are pretty far away, and the edge of the universe is 46 kilometers away, 46, 47 kilometers away. And then, the Aussieverse. Why the Aussieverse? Why not? You need a name. The Aussieverse is a billion light years, rather than 1,000 light years, because there's not much point going any further. A billion light years, a millimeter, so it's 93. Millimeters across, so it's the size of a very big grapefruit. There's no tennis balls. I've been looking at a novelty thing in someone's life. I'll tell you what, which is 10 millimeters across, a Vietnamese billiard ball. Okay, yeah, I've learnt this from, I've never seen it, but I need very round, perfectly round surfaces to form wire meshes to make scientific instruments from. I may as well tell you this story. And So, found out a few people and said, that, you know, billiard balls are very, very, very round. How round? As round as you can, you're going to be able to afford to round like that. So, I thought, I needed to know exactly how wide the billiard balls were. At that stage I was a fresh young PhD student, living up in the walking distance of, I think I had a rent of $20 or $30 a week, but it meant I had to walk huge, unthinkable distances, 10 kilometres at night, home. So it would take me an hour and a half of walking to get home. You know, like, you finish off at midnight, 1 o'clock, you crash into bed, 2:30, something like that, by the end, just walking. But, so you're way out in the sticks up, I think it's North Road, Adelaide, and Blair Athol, Prospect. There's a Prospect Hotel. The reason I do that is that got this across, I had my Vernier micrometer, there, and I said, I really want to know how big these balls are, billiard balls are. So I went up to the local pub, which had its billiard table, and I said, excuse me, do you mind if I measure some of these balls, write them down? So I measured, and it turned out, surprisingly, that the white ball was smaller and stuff like that, and so I wrote it down. I looked up all these people with the singlets, shorts and thongs looking at you and saying, Christ, mate, we thought you were from the authorities, you know, checking on our billiard balls. But that being said, there is I needed a larger one. I needed the two ideal, but I needed a larger one. And it so happened that there's these legendary Vietnamese billiard balls. And I was told, don't ask, but apparently they play with these very large billiard balls. Apparently they were from a made very round by the slacking process developed in Belgium. Do I know if that's true? That was just some chatter from the mid-80s, something like that. This is the different universes, starting off with Smallverse, Greatverse, Peterverse, Hillyverse. I forgot the universe. So Smallverse, Universe, Greatverse, Peterverse, Hillyverse, Aussieverse. The Aussieverse does it all, and each one has these special powers, lights doing a different one in each one. Lights travel around the Smallverse very fast, and light's not really flowing in the Aussieverse. It's just the Aussieverse slowly getting bigger. I wouldn't hang around, but it used to be a lot smaller, but it's slowly getting bigger. And someone's got a Nobel Prize for telling you that it's exploding. Now, it's going to explode. We know more. As it gets bigger, it gets colder. And this is one of the things I want to do. I have mentioned before, looking at Ant-Man in these fantasy comics. They just do the scale, and they don't do energy, but it has to be conserved as you go between these things. And so, for me, I almost can't look when someone switches down. What? Oh, they've solved the heat problem. Marvel has solved the heat problem. Good on you, Marvel. Better than I could do. But so you've got those universes, so six universes. S, U, G, SUG, P, H, PA, SUGPA. The SUGPA galaxy of different universes, small universe, great universe, Peter, Verse, Hillverse, and Sagfa. Gets you all the way through. If you want to know about anything, sorry, the universe only goes up. Now, the universe doesn't get bigger than the Aussieverse. You know, that's it. And it doesn't actually get smaller than the small universe, because there's a sort of end bit in the equation which says that if something gets smaller, it gets bigger. What? Yep. So the smallest particles get even bigger. And so if I had a pet neutrino, which I would bring around with myself, it would be able to slide through most things, the pet would be the size of a small puppy. So this is the entire thing with quantum mechanics, and now I'm gratefully coming home now. So I said, look, firstly, well, it's impossible to be held back, embarrassed. I think I'm going to actually think about the people who take you down, who say, oh, well, I've got mine from official NIST website. I've got mine from the ANSTO website. I've got mine from the CSIRO website. And he's going, what about the equation, this A plus B equals C? We don't do that. You're not qualified to know all that sort of stuff. Oh, all right. So it'll be really interesting to get back. And so what's happened is I've been unleashed. I've been in my bottle, and they've chucked me out into the, the dip, and I've sort of just gone feral. Feral thinking I'm unconstrained. I feel a little bit like, iRobot. That thing where they go to the dumping section of these robots for doing these repetitive things, all this robot army where they just doing these things over and over again. I can't remember how iRobot operates. I must admit, I like the films iRobot and I Am Legend. That type of stuff is a bit grinding. You either get into it or not. But this has nothing to do with it. What we're going to do is, I Am Legend at a particular scale and a particular scenario. But the scenario that we want to talk about is the different worlds, the smallerverse. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? So, the vintage world, if you imagine the old American gang with the kid with rosy cheeks and wearing one of those baseball hats with a little fan on top of it, with his gang and pulling his friends along in a cart, billy cart they built themselves, and it was all outdoors, out fun. And then the modern, so in that sort of play things, those beautiful wooden train sets and stuff like that, those vintage ones. In that vintage era is your vintage atom. And your vintage atom is the atom with a little, cute little mechanical nucleus, and mechanical electrons go around, because it's all classical mechanics. Hey, kids, wink. Yep. Quantum mechanics, there's an upgrade for it. Unfortunately, guys, there's no upgrade. You can't upgrade classical mechanics into quantum mechanics. So this next one is sort of like the iPad of the idea, is the quantum mechanical world. So in smallerverse, you've got these two worlds. You've got the vintage world, which gets you nowhere. You know, you can just go around and use the power of your imagination like this. But the quantum mechanics world is super smart. It's also mind-bending, and you've got to get it. And what happens is that the bullies in the world bash you up if you play with quantum mechanics. They really, really hook into you. So let's do a little bit of quantum mechanics. Now, repeat after me. Rule number one in quantum mechanics, there are no surfaces. Repeat, there are no surfaces. Things don't exist like a cup or a ball, which has got a solid thing of It doesn't exist here. Yeah, it definitely does. It does exist here. So it's not like the desk, you know, your desk in front of you. The desk is there, and if I ram my head into it, it's going to really hurt. That actually doesn't happen. In quantum mechanics, things are wave functions. They aren't surfaces. That is their isishness. They gradually come into existence, go up to a maximum, as described by a function, an analytical function, algebraic function, and go out of existence in a complex sort of way. So, indeed, if I were to drop a couple of raisins on your table, they would just jump around and go onto the ground, and don't pick them up because that's disgusting. Don't, look, if you drop something that's on the ground, it's okay, you can eat it, as long as only I and you know that you've eaten it. However, if I gave you a packet full of neutrons, I give you a packet full of neutrons, you don't have to open it because the neutrons will fall through the packet, through the table, because they're wave functions. Neutrons are quantum mechanical little beasties. And in fact, everything's quantum mechanical. And so that's another aspect. There's no surfaces. Things slide through each other. They're, I don't know, they're complex to know. I'll just tell you at the moment that I know the quantum mechanics so well that without the brain, sort of someone hitting you with a hard, like my RAM's been replaced without a backup being put in, so we've got sort of some operating programs here. So look, the quantum mechanical stuff, the wave functions, I know intuitively, and when I go back to look at the equations, I can see how they're divided up, and they divide up really so smoothly, so easily, and it's so nice. But when it is nice, it means there is an approximation going on, and you can do things. And it's just at the tip of my tongue, this thing that really, some equations which I can't remember them, unfortunately. I saw them, I thought, oh no, I have to really rethink things. But quantum mechanics is pretty easy, because the although the visualization, just go with it, just accept it, then breaking up the wave function, you've got the time dependent part, which gives you the complex phase through it. So the phase is rippling through with the energies. It's a very peaceful thing that goes through. You've got a quantum mechanical wave function, it will have E to the I, E T, the time dependent, the energy, time, and it's nothing complex with it. It just changes the phase of your wave function. And of course, you have to just relax and understand that phase. But then, everything you want to do. Is it too hard? Is it enough to go home? No, it's not. There's a radial part to the equation and an angular part to the equation. And it's as simple as height times width. It's like a three-dimensional cube. You've got height, width, depth, quantum mechanical wave function. You've got the radial part, the angular part, the time part. Like, there's really nothing simpler and more elegant than that. And then, if that's not good enough, you have the, is it Born-Oppenheimer approximation, which says that, the nuclear equation is separate from the electron equation. Except when it's not, and when it's not, you just chuck in a coupling term. Just one number. I just wonder where you can have a complex coupling term. Just a real number off diagonal axis, and that simple theory is just earth-shatteringly accurate. Now, it's accurate in a way in terms of it's defined to be right. It's like this whole intelligence caper, or, you know, people's having an opinion. You can have an opinion about it, but it's by definition mathematically correct. I don't know how you could disprove it. The thing is that nature itself, so we say, well, there's something called a Hilbert space, saying that what something is, so we can actually say that a set of solutions is mathematically complete for something. And it is mathematically complete, but what I actually see is actually a smorgasbord of solutions. And this is the entire thing, is that solutions can be discrete, and so you can actually draw a complex wave function as a point in solution space. A little point. It's got this number of quantum numbers for it. You know, 1, 2, 3, it's like the count of these little points in solution space. Now, what happens is that reality isn't like that, so you have a distribution of points coming in, and that's where supercomputers come in. You just go in and it just selects the distribution of points coming in to solve something. So you can have your basic textbook solution of a wave, quantum wave function, just knock it around with the supercomputer with your basic set of functions coming in. And it optimizes it. It just says, with this, what's the lowest, I forget what the actual thing is. So it's supremely simple. Now, what's actually happened is that I've really, will have to go back in and do all the Maxwell stuff again, because I must admit, I used to know about the, all of the Maxwell stuff is the fact that if you do if you have a differential equation in three-dimensional space and you do a loop integral around the outside of it, you can know the flux through a surface. Now, I sort of used to know mechanically straight why that was so at the little place, and I could, but I've lost that. So, still days, yeah, I'll have to go into it. But the major thing that we want to get going is that you've got this sixth universe thing. What is it? The Sagfa. Sagfa. Yep, the Sagfa. Small universe, Gravyverse, Peterverse, Hillerverse, and Aussieverse. Sagfa gets me everywhere. Gets us some app, gets us the whole universe. Thanks, mate. Yeah. What do you want? Do you want a bit of an education system where it's all confused and it takes years? Or do you want to do it in one hit? Sagfa. And then you come back to me and saying, "Ah, the small universe, it doesn't work. It's too complicated. Is there a super small universe?" Come along and you say, "Well, not in reality, because there's this thing that as you cut things up smaller, eventually they get bigger." What? Yep, and it's to do with the actual pixel size of space. So, it's essentially, this, look, it's like so many megapixels image, it can only have, I don't know, it's like these are pixels and you can only have so much data per physical size of pixel associated with it. And so you've got all this hologram information theory aspect to it, and essentially if you just push your thumb and finger together, you're pushing against the electrons one end to the other, and those electrons are no longer sliding each other against each other to the Pauli exclusion principle. However, those electrons are that big because they're of a certain energy. So this is another fascinating thing, is that if I want to make an atom big, all I have to do is cool it down to close to an absolute zero. It'll be big but very faint. If it's a Bose condensate, it's actually the same atom. In fact, that you're looking at one condensated atom. So I can actually see an atom, and it doesn't have ripples, it's just grey and stuff like that. But then I can actually oscillate that atom, get it to ripple, and I can see interference. And so the Nobel Prize stuff, we can freeze something down and actually expand the size of it. That's all the quantum mechanics coming in to explain it all. So it's there, look, don't get down on me for not being able to market it. No one's been able to market it. I really don't understand what's going on. No one's been able to market it, but perhaps we can get something with the SUGFA. Introducing the SUGFA does it all. Starting with the small, going up to the Aussie. And you know, there's in between, what do you want? There is no more. There's no more for you to understand. You can't get smaller than the S of SUGFA because of quantum mechanics. And it's not that quantum mechanics is just, quantum mechanics is mostly mathematics and self-consistent mathematics. It's going to be pretty weird if quantum mechanics breaks down. And it's this, you've got these two directions going across, because mathematics has got more esoteric. Mathematics has left the possibility that it's wrong. It's looking at more like trans-infinite numbers and transcendental numbers. It's trying to look at that type of stuff. Whereas our universe is an algebraic universe. And I suppose it goes by transcendental laws, or we perceive laws in it transcendentally, but it doesn't know that. Look, thanks a lot for listening. I've got to get back in and get to bed. Thanks. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.